This is Jody Apple.
On January 18, 1982, four planes, part of the Air Force flying team known as the Thunderbirds, crashed at Indian Springs Auxiliary Air Base in Nevada. All four planes crashed at the same time, killing all four pilots. What caused that crash? Technically, the investigation found that there was insufficient back pressure on the control stick of Thunderbird No. 1, that was the lead plane, during one of their maneuvers. Because of the intricate nature of their flying pattern, the mechanical failure in the lead plane caused it and the three other planes flying in formation with it to crash. Let me encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and read along as we introduce the central passage for this week's programs. We will start in verse 1 and continue through verse 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. We are particularly interested in the principles that are found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the second verse. Accordingly, this week we are studying these topics. On Sunday, follow the leader, the principles and patterns in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. On Monday, that's today, the God-Christ pattern. On Tuesday, the Christ-Apostles pattern. On Wednesday, the Paul-Timothy pattern. On Thursday, the Timothy-Faithful Men pattern. On Friday, the Faithful Man and Others pattern. Again, today's thoughts will focus on the theme, the God-Christ pattern. Let's consider some thoughts about that principle, the God-Christ pattern. During his earthly ministry, Jesus repeatedly emphasized that everything he taught and practiced was grounded in the will of his Heavenly Father. What is the significance of this claim, and why would Christ be so insistent on making it? Consider this. In his role as the incarnate Son of God, Christ demonstrated submission to the will of the Heavenly Father. We see this in John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 23, we read this. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he, that is Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he, that is Christ, must reign till he has put all things under his feet. In his role as the incarnate Son of God, Jesus indicated that that role was to complete what the Heavenly Father started. For example, in John 4:34, Jesus suggests that God is the sower, for Jesus' task is to finish his work. He came to finish what the Father started. See John chapter 5, verses 16 and following. In demonstrating submission to the will of the Heavenly Father, Christ provided the perfect example and the perfect pattern for our own lives of submission to his and his Father's will. Hebrews 5:8-9 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Furthermore, by constantly emphasizing that his words and actions were grounded in the will of his Father, Christ accentuated the continuation of the Old Testament's prophetic work. They were God's spokesmen, the prophets, and Christ continued the message that they started. Hebrews chapter 1 in the opening verses says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The importance of what was written in the Old Testament law, prophets, and Psalms was upheld by the Christ. He said this in Matthew 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In Luke chapter 4 and in verse 4, the same sort of thing is said. The truth that Jesus continued the work of the Father can be found throughout the accounts of the Gospels, but perhaps nowhere more frequently than John's account. Consider a few of those passages. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John 5:30, "I can, of myself, do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Same context, John 5:36. "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." John 6:38. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." John 10:25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." John 10:37-38. "If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." John 14:10-11. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father, who dwells in me, does the works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." John 15 and in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And finally, in John 17, verses 3 and 4, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Consider furthermore, Jesus extended the fence of the divine relationship, God to Christ, that's expressed in John 5. In the opening verses, Jesus healed the man that had an infirmity for 34 years, 5:5. The text states, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. That's chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Observing that the healing took place on the Sabbath, the Jews challenged the healed man. According to their viewpoint, what he did, carrying his bed, was against the Mosaic Law, 5:10. Furthermore, the healing itself, from their perspective, violated the law. The man told the Jews that the one who healed him told him to take up his bed and walk, 5:11, but he did not know who healed him was, 5:13. Later, after Jesus spoke to the man in the temple, he, that is the healed man, told the Jews that Jesus was the one who made him well, 5:15. The text states this afterwards, "For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he has done these things on the Sabbath." 5:16. In response, Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Jesus remarks that both he and his Father were working enraged the Jews that much more because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God, 5:19. Jesus defended his claim that he and the Father were co-laborers in the kingdom. Starting in 5:19 of John, Jesus said this, "The Son does nothing of himself, but only what he sees the Father do, and in like manner, 5:19. The Son is loved by the Father, who shows him everything that he, that is the Father, does, verse 20. The Son will, as shown by the Father, do even greater works, again, verse 20. The Son raises the dead and gives life, as does the Father, verse 21. The Son was given the right to judge by the Father, verse 22. The Son should be honored, as is the Father. Not honoring the Son equals not honoring the Father, verse 23. Those who hear the Son and believe in him will have everlasting life, verse 24. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. That's in verse 25, and then again in verses 28 and 29. The Son has life in himself that was granted by the Father, who also has life in himself, verse 26. The Son received from the Father authority to execute judgment, verse 27. The Son can only do what the Father sent him to do, verse 30. The Son judges righteously because of the will of the Father who sent him, verse 30. The Son bears true witness, but not because of his own testimony, verse 31, but rather because of the following testimony. Because of the testimony of God, verse 32, and verses 36 and following. Because of the testimony of John the Immerser, verses 32 through 36. Because of the testimony demonstrated through the works which God gave him, that is, the Christ, to do, verse 36. Because of the testimony of the voice of God, verse 37. Because of the testimony of the Scriptures generally, verse 39. And specifically, because of the testimony of Moses, verses 45 through 47. In conclusion, we note this. Christ's earthly work logically and chronologically continued the work of God the Father from eternity. His testimony consistently reflects that. This first generation evangelism / teaching / authority relationship will be repeated in four more generations in successive lessons.